Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we get into your word this evening, we ask the Holy Spirit to come to be with us, to open our hearts and our minds so that we, Father, can gain a better understanding of your word and receive it. Hold on to it. Become better equipped to reach out to those around us that are standing in need, that are walking in darkness and weakness, that we can help them, Father, to move closer to the Lord Jesus by sharing your word with them. We know, Father, we don't give the increase. Only you, through the Holy Spirit, can do that. But, Father, we know that we are to share the word, to bring them to a knowledge and understanding that they do stand in need. And the Holy Spirit can bring them to that light, and that light being Jesus. And, Father, if we have committed any errors this day, forgive us, Father, and let us know what they were so that we don't do them again and that we can walk according to your will and your way each and every day of our lives. And use us, Father, in the building of thy kingdom here on this earth, getting things ready for when the Lord comes for his church, Father, that they will be some ready to go with him. Now, Father, be with us throughout the study of your word this evening and as we go in to communion. And I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, for those of you to take communion with me, if you will get your bread, we'll get ready now and take the Lord, the communion, to remember the Lord and what he's done, what he's been through, and what he has given for you and I to do in his remembrance. Get your bread. We know that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Eat your bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Drink your cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. All right. And we do look for the coming of the Lord Jesus for the church. All right. Now, as we get ready now to go into our evening study, we've got a big chapter here. 50-some verses long. 51, actually. We may not get all the way through it, but we'll see what the Lord has for us. So as we begin here in chapter 7, 1 Kings, verse 1. But Solomon was building his own house 13 years, and he finished all his house. All right. Now, the time required to finish Solomon's house was nearly twice as long as the time for the temple due to the many buildings that made up the palace complex, according to chapter 9, verse 10. Solomon had apparently finished the temple before undertaking the construction of his palace and his surrounding buildings, because 20 years is given as the time for the whole project. Solomon had put God's house before that of his own. And by way of contrast, the architectural discrepancies of the temple and the various edifices of the palace complex have been illuminated by ongoing archaeological excavations in Syro, Palestine, and southern Turkey. Now as we go through these next verses, verse 2, he built also the house for the forest of Lebanon. The length thereof was 100 cubits, the breadth thereof 50 cubits, and the height thereof 30 cubits, upon four rows of cedar pillars, with cedar beams upon the pillars. 3, and it was covered with cedar above upon the beams that lay on 45 pillars, 15 in a row. And there were windows in the 3 rows, and light was against light in 3 ranks. 5, and all the doors with the windows, and the light was against the light in 3 ranks. 6, and he made a porch of pillars. The length thereof is 50 cubits, and the breadth thereof 30 cubits, and the porch was before them, and the other pillars, and the thick beams were before them. 7, then he made a porch for the throne, where he might judge, even the porch of judgment, with cedar from one side of the floor to the other. 8, and his house, where he dwelt, had another court within the porch, which was of the like work. Solomon made also a house for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had taken to wife, like unto his porch. Now, as we look at there, the sequence of building in the palace complex is given in the order of approach to the palace, verses 2 through 5. The house of the forest of Lebanon, apparently used as an armory, and with the porch of pillars, apparently a colonnade entry hall. In verse, you know, there in 7, it goes in telling us that the porch of judgment or throne hall, used as a place of justice where the king personally heard problem cases. Verse 8, a special palace for Pharaoh's daughter. And the chronicler added that Pharaoh's daughter was quartered in a private residence due to the sacredness of Solomon's palace because of its reception of the Ark of God. And then it would refer us to go to some other places that we've already been there. I'm not going back now. It would be just back in footnotes. So we're going to go on now. Here with verse 9. All these were of costly stones, according to the measures of huge stones, solid with soles within and without, even from the foundation unto the topping, and so on the outside toward the great court. 10, and the foundation was of costly stones, even great stones, stones of 10 cubits and stones of 8 cubits. Now these are some big stones. Now, 11, and above were costly stones after the measures of huge stones and cedars. 12, and the great court around about was 3 rows of huge stones and a row of cedar beams, both for the inner court of the house of the Lord and for the porch of the house. And we know that the great court was the Lord's outer court that encircled the entire temple and palace complex. The inner court surrounded the temple, and according to 2 Kings 11:19, access from the palace complex to the temple led through the gate of guards. Now, we'll be getting into that here in just a little while longer. But we'll be getting into Second Kings after we finish the First Kings. And as we go in now, the 13, the King Solomon said, confess Aram out of Tyre. 14, and there was a widow's son of the tribe of Nephilim, and his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in brass, and he was filled with wisdom and understanding and cunning to work all work in brass, and he came to King Solomon and wrought all his work. This Hiram is not the physician king, but a skilled craftsman from Tyre. His mother was an Israelite who had married a Phoenician or artisan, from whom young Hiram had doubtless learned his craft. Hiram had become a master craftsman in his own right, and it tells us to see the notes on 2 Chronicles 2:13 through 14. Now, as we go into 15, for he cast two pillars of brass of 18 cubits high apiece, and the line of 12 cubits did compress either of them about. 16, and he made two chapiters of molten brass to set upon the top of the pillars. The height of one chapiter was 5 cubits, and the height of the other chapiter was 5 cubits. And nets of checker work and wreaths of chain work were for the chapiters, which were upon the top of the pillars, 7 for the one chapter and 7 for the other chapter. 18. And he made the pillars in 2 rows around about upon the one network to cover the chapters that were upon the top with pomegranates, and so did he for the other chapters. And the chapters that were upon the top of the pillars were of lily work in the porch, 4 cubits. 20, and the chapters upon the 2 pillars had pomegranates also above, over against the belly, which was by the network, and the pomegranates were 200 in rows around about upon the other chapter. 21, and he set up pillars in the porch of the temple, and he set up the right pillar and called the name thereof Jachin. And he set up the left pillar and called the name thereof Bows. And upon the top of the pillar was lily work, so was the work of the pillars finished. Now then, those verses 15 through 22 says the nature of the 2 pillars of brass before the porch of the temple has been abundantly illustrated by excavations from all areas dealing with the ancient Near East. Their names, Jachin, he establishes, and Boaz, in him is strength, may well reflect Solomon's humble dependence upon God, the author of the Davidic covenant, the accuracy of the height of the two pillars is confirmed by a comparison with 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 17, and Jeremiah 52:21. And the measurement given in 2 Chronicles 3:15 was apparently miscopied. Now, but you see, we know why he was alone in the building he done while he was king. He spent 20 years in building all this. But look what he has built. You know, really, I wish there had been some way that would have stood through the years until we could have seen really what it looked like. But it didn't. But they have been finding parts of it by excavations that's going on, archaeological excavations. They're finding parts of it. Now, so we know that the word is true because they are finding a lot of it. Now, 23. He made a molten sea, 10 cubits from one brim to the other. It was round all about, and his height was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits did compress it around about. Now, 24. And under the brim of it, round about, there were knobs compressing it, 10 in a cubic, compressing the sea around about, and the knobs were cast in two rows when it was cast. It stood upon 12 oxen, 3 looking toward the north, 3 looking toward the west, 3 looking toward the south, 3 looking toward the east. And the sea was set above upon them, and all their hinder parts were inward. In other words, it was resting on their hinder parts, the sea, as he calls it. And it was a handbreadth thick, and the brim thereof was wrought like the brim of a cup with flowers of lilies. It contained 2,000 baths, and he made 10 bases of brass. 4 cubits was the length. Now, the sum of 4 cubits was the length. Now, as we go on, with 28, and the work of the bases was on this manner. They had borders, and the borders were between the ledges. And on the borders that were between the ledges were lions, oxen, and cherubim. And upon the ledges were, there was a base above and beneath the lions, and options were certain additions made of thin work. 30, and every base had 4 brazen wheels and plates of brass, and the 4 corners thereof had undersettlers. Under the leader were undersettlers molten at the side of every addition, and the mouth of it within the chapter, and above was a cubit. But the mouth thereof was round after the work of the base, the cubit and a half. And also upon the mouth of it were gratings with their borders 4 square, not round. 32. And under the borders were 4 wheels, and the axle trees of the wheels were joined to the base, and the height of the wheel was 1.5 cubits. 33. And the work of the wheels was like the work of a chariot wheel. These axle trees and their naves and their pylons and their spokes were all molded. 34. And there were 4 undersetters to the 4 corners of 1 base, and the undersetters were of the very base itself. 35. And in the top of the base was there a round compass of 1.5 cubits high, and on the top of the base of the lodges thereof and the borders thereof were of the same. 36. For on the plates of the ledges thereof and on the borders thereof he graved cherubims, lions, and palm trees, according to the proportion of every one, in addition around about. 37. After this manner, he made the 10 bases, all of them had 1 casting, 1 measure, and 1 size. 38. Then made he 10 levers of brass. 1 lever contained 40 baths, and every lever was 4 cubits, and upon every one of the 10 bases 1 lever. 39. And he put 5 bases on the right side of the house, 5 on the left side of the house, and he set the sea on the right side of the house, eastward over against the south. Now, as we look now at these verses 23 through 39, he's talking about the molten sea was cast in 1 bronze piece by Harum. It was set upon 12 bronze oxen or bulls, which were later removed by Ahaz, who replaced them with a stone base. Now, the sea took the place of the lever of the tabernacle and was used for the ritual washing of the priest. 5 movable bronze basins stood on either side of the molten sea, which were used for the raising of the burnt offerings. And the quality of the water held by the molten sea is given here as 2,000 baths, probably the correct figure in the light of its creation, the 3,000 baths. The 2 Chronicles 4:5 is probably miscopied. It's letting us know sometimes when things did get miscopied. And you know, we're going to stop there for the day, and we'll pick up there, God willing, in the morning to finish out this chapter. We haven't got too much more to go. We've got about 11 verses, in this chapter. Now, I pray that we all have really gained something by hearing the work that Solomon has done and how he went about it and how his life was, because the work he done for the Lord was all done first, even before his home was built. Even before he had a home, he done God's work. And then he done his own. And those that he was doing for the people of the kingdom. He was strictly a man for God and being in obedience with God, which is exactly what we need to be. We need to be men and women that are of God to the point that he is always, always first in our lives. And then we ourselves and our families come next. And when we live our lives like that, he will take care of us. And he can even give us long lives. He's been taking care of me a long time. And he has given me a long life. And he is still using me today. Because you see, these Bible studies are not mine. This country boy doesn't have the education to be doing what he's doing. It is that Holy Spirit of Almighty God working through me, with me and in me, to get the work of the Lord God done. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, I do thank you for it. Father, I thank you for Jesus, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And Father, I thank you for all of those that belong to this ministry and those that call in and join with us in the study of the word, and that we'll stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us to reach more. Make a way for us, Father, to reach more than what we are reaching. Father, we do pray for Israel. We pray for that fighting to stop there, and for them to have peace. But we pray more for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And this land of ours, Father, I pray that those that are evil in our government be removed from office and be replaced with those, Father, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, love the church, your people, and this land to work with us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for those that's in my heart, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Amy, Tom, Jacob, Bobby, Millie Johnson, my wife, those in Brandenburg Nursing Home. Father, for Sue Branson, for Daryl and Debbie, for Courtney and Shane, they stand in need of Jesus. For Chris, Sam, those small children myself, Father, and for all of our families, all of our children, our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, all, every member, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, and cousins. Father, let the Holy Spirit to work with them and bring them all out of darkness that are walking in darkness and bring them to the light so that none be lost. All, Father, can be saved and be on the road of making heaven their home. Now be with us, Father. Keep us all through this night in hell. Keep us safe. Bring us back together again in the morning at 10 a.m. and back into your word. Father, this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Walk with God and he'll walk with you. Praise his holy name. Praise him. Give him all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. Because it is his. It's not ours. It is his. Because without him and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we are nothing. But with them in our lives, we can do all things that he will call upon us to do. Oh, Father, praise you, praise you, praise you. And once again, in Jesus' name, amen. I pray to see you with me in the morning at 10 a.m. Good evening, all.